Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago. That's right. It is Monday, April the 30th, 2018. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located here on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, I'm excited as always to be here with you on today. Today is going to be good as always, y'all. We're going to have a good time. It's your boy, your host, Miss Dana L. King. I'm in the studio by myself. My brother, Pastor Parks, will not be in today. But we're going to continue the show as always. And look here, man, we got a great show for you today. It's Missional Monday. That's what we deal with. We always deal with outreach or something affecting that particular issue. So that's our topic for today. We're going to be dealing with this. Watch this. The top 10 things churches do to turn people away. The top 10 things that churches do to turn people away. That's the topic of today's conversation. I hope y'all are ready for it. I know I am. It's going to be a good time in the Lord today. Amen, 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 as always. But if it's your first time, just let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1 and you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you that way. Again, the dial-in number is area code 347-934-0546. That's how you can find us. One more time, that call-in number is area code 347-934-0546. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's right, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. Again, you can tweet the show, TTLO Radio. That's two T's, one L, one O, TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us there. If you want to tweet the show, feel free to do that. Again, the Twitter handle is TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way as well. Amen. If you want to follow us on Facebook, please feel free to do so as well. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us live. That's where you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. This is absolutely where you can find us there. Amen, amen, and amen. Always looking forward to hearing from you all that way. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can do that as well. Follow us on Instagram. You can reach us on the gram. Real easy to do. Follow us on Instagram. Just real simple, TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us there. TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us on the gram. And then also, the live streams are up and running right now. I believe they are. Yeah, the live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv, we're live there as well. Ustream.tv, you can find us right there. Just do a simple search on Ustream, Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Radio. You can find us there. Amen. And then you can find us live on Facebook right now. Yeah, we're live on Facebook as well. Live on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us on the book, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. I always love reading the comments from you guys on Facebook. And then you can also find us on Instagram as well. Real simple, real easy to do. Just go to simple, do a simple search on your Instagram account for TTLO Radio. That's two T's, one L, one O. That's where you can find us on the gram, two T's, one L, one O. That's where you can find us on, excuse me, on the gram. Amen, amen. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast. Do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Radio. Just do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Radio. If do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Radio. You can find us right there. Please do so, ma'am and sir. Do a simple search for Taking Limits Off Radio. You can find us there. Amen. Look, I hope everybody had a great weekend. Man, so much stuff is happening. So much is going on. I hope everybody had a really good weekend. And, you know, we finally got the weather to break here in Chicago. Bless the Lord for finally giving us a reprieve, for giving us a reprieve on this cold weather. Amen. Just bless the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. We're just grateful that we finally got some good weather this week. And then this week, I saw that sometime this week we're supposed to get an actual are we really supposed to get 80 degrees this week? Am I hearing that right? Am I reading that right? Man, that's exciting in itself. But I want to talk about something real quick. That popped up over the weekend, and it was so disheartening. I saw it last night, came across the news, and then it happened again over this weekend. The weather is only breaking a little bit, and we had a five-year-old girl was hit, shot on the in Albany Park area. So that's the south side of Chicago, I believe. And a five-year-old child was shot by a stray bullet. She says she's recovering. Excuse me, after she was hit by a stray bullet in the Albany Park, neighborhood Sunday afternoon. This wasn't even at night. This was Sunday afternoon. Chicago police say are looking for the people responsible for shooting at about 1:30 in the afternoon in the 4600 block of North Monticello Avenue. Let me get that right. I think that's the north side. 4600 block of North Monticello Avenue. That's northwest side, actually. Says two men were apparently arguing outside the area when one began firing shots at the other, and the little girl, my God, was hit by a stray bullet. See what I'm saying? Little girl was hit by a stray bullet. Police said she was standing in the gangway to her home when the shooting started, and she was hit in the ankle and rushed to the hospital. Her name, the girl, Michaela, was undergoing surgery Monday morning to remove the bullet from her ankle at Lori's Children's Hospital. Unbelievable. One of the neighbors said at around 1:15, they heard about seven gunshots. That's what they woke up to. Didn't have a clue. The little girl's family was headed to the park when the shooting happened. It's enough for some residents to rethink the area. Unbelievable. 5 years old. 5 years old, y'all. 5 years old. Yesterday, what? 55 degrees yesterday? A day where we had a bunch of sunshine at 1:30 in the afternoon when kids can be outside playing and should be able to be outside playing and enjoying themselves. You got idiots arguing and shooting at each other. And here again is why I say no. I'm not one for banning handguns, but I do believe that you shouldn't let people, that there ought to be some sort of test. There ought to be something that can be done so that a five-year-old at 1:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday, on a sunny day, on a Sunday afternoon, isn't subject to gunfire in the city of Chicago. This is not Kuwait. This is not Afghanistan. This is not any of those places. This is the city. This is a city, a major metropolitan city in the country of the United States of America. And you have a five-year-old who can't play outside at 1:30 in the afternoon on her way to a park to play. And because two idiots are arguing in the street, this baby had to be shot in the ankle. Now, bless the Lord that it was the ankle and that she wasn't killed, because we do know from past experiences is that a lot of times stray bullets, and as we like to say, even though I know it's cliche, bullets don't have a name. Bullets don't have a name, and it's really sad and unfortunate that another child, here we go, summer hasn't even gotten here yet, and we had another child shot. Unbelievable. Stray bullet. I would love at some point to just have a conversation. I know the city is doing a lot of stuff to try. I know they put 100 new police officers on the street the other day and all of that. But I'm going to say this again. There is a time and a need for foot patrols in the city of Chicago in neighborhood streets. I just think it's an absolute must. I think it's an absolute must that just like they have police officers walking on Michigan Avenue downtown, on State Street downtown, how they have police officers riding bikes up north by the lake, South Shore Drive, North Lake, all those areas, north of Lakeshore Drive, all those areas downtown, east side, all those areas, even in certain areas on the south side, they need foot patrols on the west side of Chicago. I think it's an absolute must. And I think the one way to get that done, because we can't have five-year-olds getting shot. I'm sorry. We can't have five-year-old babies getting shot. And if you have more police, and here's the deal. I understand there's not a need for more police, but I believe there needs to be a strategic placement of police. I'll say that again. I'm not advocating that we get more police. I understand they just put another 100 officers on the street. I'm not advocating for more police. I'm advocating for a better strategy with police. Whatever happened to officers walking the beat? Because it's just me. I think it's less likely for that argument to be taking place. Now, mind you, that argument could have still happened whether or not police officers were walking the beat or not. That argument could have happened after police passed or before or however. But it's less likely to happen. Those arguments are less likely to happen when police officers are visible. And not just visible sitting in their cars on lunch breaks, or visible just sitting in their cars mean mugging people, but I mean visible walking the beat, visible walking the neighborhoods and the blocks where people live, visible walking these high crime areas. Because guess what? You can't sell drugs if the police officers are walking the very street where the drug deals are taking place. So this is what I need you all to do, especially those of you all who are on the west side of Chicago, right? This is what I need you all to do. Tomorrow is May 1st. Tomorrow is May 1st. And in this district, in the 15th district of Chicago, there is a community meeting every month on the first Tuesday of the month. Tomorrow is the first Tuesday of May. So at 10 o'clock at the 15th district police station located right here on Madison, in between Central and Austin, right here on Madison. I'll get you guys the exact address in one moment. But right here on Central, on Madison Street, right here on Madison Street, I need you guys to show up and show out. 5701 West Madison Street. 5701 West Madison Street. What did you say, Parks? Parks says, bless you, sir. He says, the ones who serve and protect are more afraid of their lives being taken away. Yeah. Yeah. And Parks, you're absolutely right. You can't be afraid of the community that you're set to protect. I'll say that again. You can't be afraid of the community that you're set and you've been placed in to protect. I'll say that again for church folk. You can't be afraid of the community that the Lord has allowed you to establish and form a congregation in. You can't be afraid, right? You need, watch this. These people, these clowns with these guns, these young punks, these ignorant little fools that are outside right now, they're establishing their territory already. I'm going to say that again. They're establishing their territory. Why is it that we're waiting until June and July before we try to establish territory? Here is the deal. If God gave you the land, then go and get it. If God put this thing out there, then why are you hesitating? What are you so afraid of? Somebody help me today. Why are we so standoffish? But this is what I need you all to do. I need you all to show up at your police districts and demand foot patrols. Demand foot patrols. They can park their car on one block and walk three or four, five or six blocks at a time. Just walk the blocks. Canvas the neighborhoods like the church people do. And if you see some neighbors outside, sit and talk to them on their front porch. Make yourself known. If you are an officer in the 15th district where we are now, in the 11th district where my mom still lives, if you're an officer in those districts, the people need to know who you are. That's how you build a rapport. That's how you change your community. That's how communication starts. Nobody wants to be seen as a person. Nobody wants to be seen as a person who's constantly calling the police. But what will happen is this. When you start to build the rapport with the police officers, you'll build the rapport where they will know when something is wrong. They will give you their personal cell phone numbers. You won't have to call 911. I think it's time out for just sitting back quiet and allowing these things that we can't have any more 5-year-old babies getting shot. Now, I understand what time we're living in. I understand what days we're living in. I read my Bible. I understand the whole issue about these are the last days and these things have to happen. And yes, they do. I understand that. But all of them don't have to happen. Some of them do have to happen. But I believe if we're going to just take the thought as a church and as a Christian believing community, that we just going to sit back and because it has to happen, and we just going to sit back and just pray. Is that what we're saying? Are we saying we just going to sit back and just pray so it has to happen, so we just going to go on about our daily lives and act like nothing and act like it doesn't mean anything and act unbothered? Is that our thought process, that we're going to act that we're going to act unbothered? Is that where we are? I'm just curious. I really am. I'm just real curious as to how long we're going to sit by and not say anything. Summer is around the corner. 80 degree days, permanent 80 degree days are right around the corner. Why not, as a church, go out and establish yourselves now, retake your community now? I just think it's necessary. I just really think it's necessary that we have a presence and have an immediate presence, because again, I'm sorry, y'all, and I don't mean to come on the show starting off this way, but y'all know every now and then some stuff I read stuff and I hear stuff on the news, and it lights a spark in me. We can't have any any more babies being shot. 5 years old. 5 years old, on your way to the park, and you get shot. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So let me move on. I'm going to leave it alone. But I'm asking you all again, if you live in the Austin area, tomorrow at 10 a.m., that's the community, faith-based community policing and block clubs, all meet at the 15th District at 10 a.m. It's our annual, it's our monthly meeting that's held every first Tuesday of the month. So if you're able to come out and be there and just want to come and sit and voice your opinion and see what's being planned. There's a lot of things that are being planned, but this is just one area. Unfortunately, we are not near Albany Park where this baby was shot. But we can take the model of what it is we're trying to do here. We can take the model of what it is we're trying to do here and take it somewhere else. We can't afford to have any more babies shot while they're trying to go and play at the park. We just can't do that anymore. It's time out for that. It is. And I'm going to say this again. It's time for leaders in the church to step up. It really is. It's time for leaders in the church to step up. So if you want to give me your comments on that, feel free. You can call into the show. The phone number is area code 347-934-0546. Again, that phone number is area code 347-934-0546. Feel free to call in. You want to voice your opinion on that and some other stuff. But I'm going to move on. But if any of you all feel like you want to do that, do that. You can also email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Definitely you can do that as well. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way as well. Amen, amen, amen. So here's something else that I saw, and I thought this was quite interesting. So Holy Name Cathedral. Let me pull this up. Are you guys familiar with Holy Name Cathedral? Are you guys familiar with that with the church? Holy Name Cathedral. It's a church, biggest Catholic church in the city, one of the biggest Catholic churches in the Catholic church in the city. Apparently, has been being robbed. Wow, Justina L. Davila Winfrey says the Austin community makes up 1/3 of the Illinois Department of Corrections budget. Wow. Justina, can I ask you where you got those numbers? Wow. Wow. That is wow. If you can, please share with us where you.
Somebody shout, yes, he will. Somebody shout, yes, he will. Tell your neighbor, yes, he will. He'll step in when you need him most. Somebody ought to praise him. Come on and give God, give God some praise. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. And how many know that when you get in trouble, you can call him and he'll come to your rescue? But you can't look cute and you can't be quiet. But you got to open your mouth and say, Lord, I need your help. Anybody here tonight need God's help? Come on, clap your hands.
Amen, amen. We are back. Whew. Amen, amen. I love that song. If y'all ain't heard that song, that's by Ernest Pugh, man. That's an amazing, amazing song. Thank you, thank you. Okay, so Justine, I want to touch on this, man, because you gave me some numbers, and I like real stats. It says the Illinois Department of Corrections budget is about $1.5 billion annually. The Austin community has million-dollar blocks. Austin and Cicero, for example, where a 14-year-old was murdered a few days ago. Yeah, yeah. Chicago's million-dollar blocks. Can I open this up without losing? Okay, let me see this. Open links in new tabs. I like listeners who give me some information with some facts. Now I like as they say, I like receipts. Come on now, this is good stuff. Hold on. Let me look at this here. Let me get this up here. Come on. All right. It simply says. Let's see. All right. So she sent me this. Chicago Austin million-dollar block. Illinois has spent $2.4 million in 5 years on a single block in Austin, but not on economic development. Wow. It says, while we are focused on the budget cuts taking place across the city, there's still one area of spending is actually increasing. In fact, Illinois has spent $2.4 million on one single block in Austin. That money did not go to infrastructure improvements, local schools, or after-school programs. Instead, the $2.4 million is money the state spent on jailing residents of that one block, mainly for minor drug offenses. Wow. Between 2005 and 2009, Illinois spent almost twice as much on incarcerating people from Austin, $550 million, as it did on jailing people from any other neighborhood. In fact, the state committed $1.4 billion for this year alone to the Department of Corrections, despite having $8 billion worth of unpaid bills and no budget for it. Wow. Okay, so this is dated 2015. Sweet Jesus. Wow. Unbelievable. Okay. I can't. Okay. Wow. I'm at a whole loss. And I mean a whole loss. And Unbelievable. But we got money for everything else. Recently, 28th Ward Alderman Jason Urban proposed an anti-loitering legislation, which mirrored the anti-gang legislation the United States Supreme Court struck down in 1989. Our elected officials are currently partaking in the land grab and ensuring gentrification. Well, let me say this about Jason Urban. I would love to have Jason on this show. Tanya, I know we got a lot going on, and without me going into a whole lot, can we see if we can get Jason Urban? He may or may not come. He is the alderman for the 28th Ward, is he not? Can we reach out to Jason and find out who his people are and see? Because I would be curious just to know what's really going on, because it is disheartening. Thank you, Justina, for that information. I appreciate you. Angela says, here's my concern. How is it there are shooters but no convictions? Are they getting paid to do this, so it would seem as if we're killing each other? Well, you know, that is a theory that's out there. I'm not going to say it's a conspiracy theory. But that is a theory that's out there that people are that it may not even be us doing the killing, but because you never see anybody being caught, you never see any arrest, and stuff like that. But unfortunately, it goes back to the same issue of we have to be vigilant and protect ourselves. And when I say that is we need to be vigilant in making sure that the people who've been hired to do jobs are doing the jobs they've been hired to do. I don't just need you to police me. Right. I don't need you to just police me. I need you to also protect. I need you to serve as well as protect. And you're not serving, Mr. Officer, sir, Miss Officer, ma'am, by just sitting in your car and driving through the neighborhoods. Right. It's more to service than that. So we just have to have better. We just have higher. We need to have higher expectations of not only our police officers, but our elected officials. Okay, thank you. Tanya, I know you probably can't see this from Facebook. Well, if you go to the page, you can still get to the page, right? Can't you go to the page? Justina put up the 28th Alderman's scheduler, Doris, someone named Doris, and she put the phone number there. Maybe we can call and see what can happen in the next week or so, if it's possible. If it's not, we can get him. But I would love to, while things are still in the positions that they're in now, I would love to see if we can get him, because I'm curious as to to finding out, if anything, what his status is and thoughts are on this upcoming summer, the spring that we're in right now, and the plan, because gentrification ain't it. Gentrification is not it. Getting people to move out of their homes and getting people put out of their houses ain't it. Right? That's not gonna get it. I don't care how you look at it. That's not gonna get it at all. So I think we can do so much better. We can do so much better than that. We owe our people better than that, and we have to be more responsible than that. So y'all pray with me as we try to get some things we try to get some things accomplished. But I want to do this. Thank you again for that good information. I know LaShawn Ford, and we've reached out to him a couple times. And Congressman Danny Davis, I'm not going to even waste my time. I'm just going to say it like this. It's time for Danny Davis. It's been past time for Danny Davis to sit out. That's just the truth. I'm sorry. And don't get me wrong. Danny Davis, back in the day, was a powerful a worker for the community. He was a powerful worker for the community 15, 20 years ago. It's way past time for Danny Davis to get somewhere and sit down. It is. It really is. And I say that respectfully. You did your job, sir, and you did your job well. But it is way past time for him to sit down. So, but I want to touch on something else real quick. Sorry, y'all. I'm trying to type something out to my producer while I'm trying to talk to y'all at the same time. So here's this deal. Holy Name Cathedral. Here's this deal. Let me read this for you. Chicago police have arrested two former security guards. Watch this now. Two former security guards accused of stealing from Holy Name Cathedral. The two men were arrested Sunday and charged in a case which has deeply troubled parishioners. Artemio Calderon, 25, from the Back of the Yards neighborhood, and 22-year-old Jarrell Patterson from the Chatham neighborhood each face one felony count of burglary of a place of worship. Police said both men had access to a key that they used to get into a safe. The suspects worked for Monterey Security, a company based near Pilsen neighborhood, offering private security services to places like Soldier Field and Navy Pier. A source told ABC7 that the church's officials are in the process of hiring a new security company. Now watch this, y'all. Holy Name Cathedral noticed it was missing money from its collections, collected in a basket and passed around at Mass. The donations were then sealed into a bag and locked in a safe before being deposited into a bank. Up to $100,000 was taken. The iconic church on State and Superior says it has video surveillance footage of two different men trespassing. They could be seen coming and going from the church offices in March and April. It sparked church officials to launch an audit of the money coming in. Parishioners who came to Mass Monday morning were disappointed yet forgiving. Unbelievable. So these two security guards had access to where the money in the church was being taken after they did collections. And the two security guards decided that they were going to go into the finance room and take the money, because it was cash, and take what they wanted from it and let them deposit the rest, because they assumed it was untraceable, not thinking that the church was keeping track of their donations. And it says the only reason they found out was because the church realized or recognized that the donations looked like they had been changing. Unbelievable. Security guards in the church. You were hired to secure the church, and you're stealing from the church. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But I'll say this. This is from one of the parishioners from Holy Name Cathedral. He says, our Pope asked us to forgive, and our Pope asked us to pray for people who have evil in their hearts and to do that for the church. It's disappointment. It's disappointing, but the disappointment has to be alleviated by our own forgiveness. Y'all security guys still in front of the church. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm done. I'm just done. This is where we are. But I saw that on the news this morning, and I thought I would share that with you all. That is very disheartening that people would steal from the church. But I have to say this, it's not surprising. It's not surprising at all. In this day and age, I know we should be surprised by things, but unfortunately, I don't know if it's because I've grown cynical or I've grown numb to some things. But I just think it's one of those things where we need to be mindful of the people, even of the people in our churches. Now, Angela, I wasn't going to go there, but since my twin went there, Angela says, wait now, they're robbers, but what about the pimps who stand on the platforms weekly? Why are you shocked? They're not leaders. I'm not surprised at all. Let me move on. Y'all, you know what, y'all, do me this favor. And I mean this wholeheartedly. And I don't ask you all for a lot. Do me a favor, y'all. Just pray. Just do me that favor. Just pray. Just pray. Just pray for peace of mind. Can y'all do that? Just pray for peace of mind. And I say that because there's a lot of stuff that's happening, and I need you all just to pray for peace of mind and pray for continued understanding. I sent this to my producer earlier today, and it'll be posted. She does my post on my Minister King page, but I sent this to earlier, and I said this part of maintaining your, and this is something that I've had to learn this year, and over the course of last year, with everything that happened towards the end of last year, and everything that happened at the beginning of this year, I woke up this morning. And even last night, with all the stuff that was going on, I just talked to God about peace. I did. I just talked to God last night and this morning about peace, and he gave me these parting words. I won't say parting words, but he imparted these words. Simply, just part of maintaining your peace is not that you allow other people, come on now, to set your emotional agenda. I want y'all to get this and hear me good. Part of maintaining your peace is that you don't allow other people to set your emotional agenda. Don't allow them to set your emotional agenda for you. Don't allow them to govern what should drive your responses and your reactions. Don't do that. Don't allow other people to drive your responses and your reactions. At the end of the day, just hold your peace. And I know a lot of times it's difficult to do. People do and say things and plan things, to get you to do things. But don't allow those people room. Don't allow those people to make room in the emotional compartments of your life. Don't allow them to rent space or live for free. Come on now, my God. Don't allow them to live for free and play with the emotions of your mind. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm asking that. So if you all would pray for me, I would continue to pray for you all as I do all the time. But it is a disheartening thing when you can see people in the church who would do any and everything to try to disrupt your peace. Who would do any and everything to try to disrupt your peace. And you have to be able to recognize these things when they come. You have to be able to recognize these things when they come. You just do. You do. And I just thought I would share that with you all. And I'll share more later at a later date. But just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind. Don't let anybody don't allow people to steal your joy or to interrupt your peace. First of all, they're not worth it. And I would just advise anyone who may be going through something right now, don't allow anybody to set a stage for you. Only God sets stages for you. And when God sets a stage for you, let me say this and let me say it clearly so that it cannot be misunderstood or misinterpreted. And I'm going to say this very, very clearly. When God sets a stage for you, there is no devil in hell or no man walking the face of the planet that can remove said stage. I'll say that again. When God sets a stage for you, people may try to interrupt it, but they can't move what God has placed. You may interrupt it. You may even try to delay it. You may even try to postpone it, but you can't stop it. You know, I think about airplanes, when airplanes have delays because something happens or someone on the plane disrupts the flight. You know, when you're getting ready to take off, come on now. When God gets ready to, when the airplane gets ready to take off and you have a disgruntled passenger who forces the plane has to land because it's unsafe to fly, guess what? That plane still makes it to its destination. Oh, my God, I'm going to help somebody if I don't help nobody but myself. That plane makes it to its destination. It's just simply delayed for a little while. Yes, you might be inconvenienced. My God. Yes, you might be stuck for a few minutes. Yes, it may cost you some time, and it may cause you a little headache and a little heartache. But guess what? That plane still takes off again and still makes it to its destination. Thank you, Holy Ghost, my God. So I just want to share that with you all right now. Just because things are being delayed does not mean they're being denied. I'll say it again. When God sets your stage, there is no man, no devil, no board, no ministry, no ministers, nothing. Nobody can stop that. Amen. I'll say it just like that. I just want to make sure I'm clear. Thank you, twin. I appreciate you. So I just felt that I felt the need to say that real quick. Let me do this. I'm going to take a break. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. Feel free to join in. everything is fine, Cheryl King. Let me. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Yes. When my mama come on Facebook, it's always a treat. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. You can put your claws in. Put your paws down. Put your claws. Oh, God. You can put your claws in. Amen. 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 So let me do this. Okay. All right. Cool. I got your message, Tanya. Cool. All right. So let's do this. Let's take a break. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to jump into the rest of the conversation. And we're going to move on from there. Amen. So let's do it. We're going to move on. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, y'all, we're going to continue the conversation. Y'all stay blessed, man. We'll be right back. T-T-L-O. Come on, y'all. Let's do it like this. Yeah. Be right back, y'all. T-T-L-O. Come on.
Against our King, no one can. no one will. Oh, 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 oh. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Oh, oh, oh.
Day, victory belongs. Victory belongs to him. My. No matter what it looks like, victory belongs to him. Amen. 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 So look, y'all, we're gonna do this. We got this really good article. We got this really, 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 really good article, y'all. And we're going to jump right into this thing. This is good. This is good. Hope y'all ready for this. Simply says this. The top 10 things churches do to turn people away. That's our conversation for today. We're going to jump right into that. Hope y'all ready for it. So, look, I'm going to take a quick hot 30 seconds. Be right back, y'all. 30 seconds.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Amen, amen, amen. So we got this good topic. I want to talk about it. The top 10 things churches do to turn people away. This is from Grace Centered Magazine. It's an online Christian magazine. I think we've used it before, but we want to jump in. This is pretty good. The writer is written by Grace Centered. That's the name of the magazine, online Christian magazine. The writer says this. He says, this top 10 list comes from years of observation, right? That's what he says. He says it comes from years of observation. He goes on to say, no definitive study is being referenced, but we think this is a pretty close list of actions or not that turn people away from the church and lose members. Let's talk about it. So the writer says this. He says, the top 10 list of ways to run off your members and guests. The top 10 list of ways to run off members and guests. This is what we're doing. Call me when you're done. Okay, mother. Lord have mercy. See, y'all got my mama started. See, the top 10 ways. Let me do this. Let me pull this up right here. All right, good. All right. So the top 10 ways to run off your members and guests. Number 10. Y'all ready for this? This is good. I'm going to post these in here as we go. Number 10 says, having a children's program that squeezes volunteers to where they hardly ever get to attend worship service or see church as anything but work. He says, if you really want to alienate, frustrate, and burn people out, have them teach the six-year-olds for a month at a time, and when they get a month off, have them substitute for the people who were too stressed out to keep teaching. He says, before you know it, you will have no one willing to volunteer, and your children's program will be in shambles. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? He says, so instead, how about hiring someone, or better yet, having people who are already paid staff for the church being full-time teachers? He says, the quality of the class will improve with a regular teacher, and parents won't stress out too much. They won't be as tempted to stay home or find someone else to worship. Find somewhere else to worship. This is good. And these are going from 10 to the end. These are going from 10 to the end. So let me say this. You can't overuse people, right? And, you know, a lot of times in churches, because churches are small. And I understand you want to try to grow, you want to try to grow the church and do things, but you can't overuse people to the point where they're burnt out, right? Or people feel like they're being taken for granted. Because when you do that, you start to set a very dangerous precedent. Y'all hear me? You start to set a very dangerous precedent. And people need to feel like that first of all, that what they do, their work is appreciated. That's the word, right? That their work is appreciated. You know, so what you don't want to do is just stick people somewhere. I'm going to stick you down in this ministry so you can stay down here and you're going to just work down here and do this and do that in the third. Amen. Amen. Let's just keep going. Let's keep going. That was number 10. We're going down. They have the countdown kind of like the Dave, you know, y'all remember David Letterman, 10 things. So he go from 10 to 1. So we're going to just go back into it. Let's go. Number 9 says this. We're talking about the 10 ways, a list of 10 things to run off members and guests. He says, here we go. Having a preacher who is always negative about life in general from the pulpit. You know, teenagers are no good. The members don't give enough to offering. Marriages are failing apart because nobody wants to work on their relationship. People aren't doing church right anywhere but here. That guy, you know. People don't like that type of preaching. He says, sure, there needs to be a balance and sermons shouldn't all be sunshine and rainbows, but there ought to be some sermons that are easy listening every now and then, don't you think? He says, maybe one on how wonderful it is that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins and to give us real joy. Joy isn't a sin, right? You know what? Nobody wants to hear negativity from the pulpit all the time. And people don't want to hear a whole lot of talking from the pulpit. You know, people come to church. People don't come to church on Sundays for meetings. I'll say that again. Let me say that again. People come to church on Sundays for worship. That's what Sundays are supposed to be about. Let me make that very clear. That's what Sundays are supposed to be about, worship. No being stuck in meetings, no meetings before church, no meetings after church. It's about worship. Because if I spent my worship service worshiping, and then I'm called into some meeting where you may or may not be negative, that means you're going to try it. So that means what you're going to do is take me right out of the very worship, the very presence of God that I was able to meet in service by sitting in a room with you for 25 and 30 minutes of my life that I cannot get back, by the way. You're moving me out of the worship experience. You're taking me away from the sermon you just preached. You're taking me away from the songs that were sung because I got to sit in the room and try to figure out what is your major malfunction on today. That's why churches ought to have business hours. Let me help somebody today. You want to meet? Churches need to have business hours. And Sunday ought to be about the Lord's business, not just business. I'm going to help somebody today. That's what it ought to be about. Huh? That's what it ought to be about. It ought to be about the Lord's business and not just in and everything that we can come up with to talk about because y'all too lazy to come and do it on a business day, on a regular day, Monday through Friday. So you're going to take up people's Saturdays and Sundays with your foolery. My. Let's go. So that was number 9. Don't bog people down with negativity. Amen. Number 8 says this. Constantly asking, Number 8, constantly asking members for more money and then hiring people at positions like minister of the pew posture and bulletin handing out. Give him a fancy office and only ask that he show up 3 days per week for 4 hours. Pay him more than most members earn and then give him a church credit card to max out as well. Nothing quite like members giving the money they work hard to earn for stuff like that. We have to be careful when we're bogging people down for money in church. It's hard to want to get people to give money in church when they've seen money mismanaged in the church. I'll say that again. It's hard to get people to want to give more money to a church where they've seen churches mishandle money previously, or there's so many questions about how the money has been handled. It's hard for people to give money when it's suspect in your previous history or past on how you've handled money in the past. Yes, I know we're supposed to just give the money and give it from our hearts or whatever, but God also gave us wisdom. God gave us wisdom. And if God gave me wisdom and discernment enough to know that you have ulterior motives with the money that I put in here, then God is going to tell me to sow that seed somewhere else. I know I got some preachers that probably don't want to hear that right now, but I'm going to say it again. If there is visible evidence that y'all doing something else other than serving the kingdom of God with the funds that are coming into the church, then guess what? They ought to take that money and give it to somewhere else where it could be better used for the kingdom of God. Outside of maintaining the building itself and outreach, what other purposes does giving serve? Let's be honest about it, Felicia. A lot of that stuff, a lot of the monies go towards paying for paying the salaries of workers in the church. Some churches, I'll give you a very good example. A friend of the show, church, First Baptist Congregation has a full staff. They have a full-time secretary. They have a full-time security staff. Someone is at that church every day of the week. They have a full-time staff. They have full-time preachers on. They have two ministers that I know of outside of the pastor of the church that have full-time jobs. I got it, Felicia. I didn't take it that way at all. And it's necessary. It's necessary. You know, and then you have musicians, you have sound engineers, I know some churches that have full fledged IT departments, network administrators, people who run the church's network that get paid. So there's so much that's there. Now, should that be the case? That's a different conversation. I love your question, though. But should that be the case? I don't know. But it's a good question. It's a very good question. Amen. So, again, don't be constantly begging for money. It's a bad look. It's a bad look. I don't believe that the pastor of the church should know how much money people are giving in the church. Because he or she may not do it intentionally, but they tend to treat people differently. Because if you know I'm the one writing the check every 2 weeks for $700-$900, or every month I'm dropping $2,500 in the offering tray. If you know I'm the one doing that, you might feel obligated. I'm gonna say it again. You might feel obligated to listen to me a little bit more because you're afraid that I might cut off my giving. Felicia says, I was a little disturbed one time when my group was asked to donate $1,000 per group for a pastor's birthday. Yeah, you should have been disturbed. You should have been disturbed. I don't think people should set amounts on what they're going to give. That people give based off their from their heart. If you thought your group was going to do something, then say, here you go, group. We're going to give some money, and we're going to give the best that we can give. And here it is. Here you go, Pastor. Happy birthday, or Merry Christmas, or whatever you want to call it. But again, that's me. That's me. Who am I? I'm just a dude. Who am I? I'm just a dude. Amen. Let's keep going. Number seven. We're talking about the top 10 things churches do to turn people away. The top 10 things churches do to turn people away. Number seven says, decide that your congregation is only going to focus on one particular age group. Whew. Oh, my God. He says, you know, you'll sing songs only for them. You'll hire a preacher who only mostly relates to them. You'll decorate the building in ways that only appeal to them. You'll make decisions about the, what the church is going to do only with them in mind, and insist at all costs to only use their lingo when you talk about things publicly. Whatever you do, don't try to have any balance so that neither the old folks or the young folks feel left out. That just be lame. Wow. And that's the wrong thing to do. And I think a lot of times you have to have, you know, one of the things that I appreciate about this experience that I've had with Ebenezer is the fact that Ebenezer has a more mature age group of parishioners, right? And even though I'm 47, soon to be 48 this week, actually, but even though I'm 47, I am considered fairly young over there. And because I know a lot of young people, and I try to keep up to date with what's going on. I don't do well with it. That's why I have, you know, people around me to keep me up to date, you know, and stuff like that. But it has allowed me to see a different perspective from seasoned saints. Let me say it this way. This experience has allowed me to see that although these people may be mature in age, they are still open to change. Watch this. They are still open to change. So you're talking about a congregation full of 60, 70, 80, 90-year-olds, but who have expressed to me that they said, Reverend Dana, we're open to change. We're open to fresh ideas. We're open to these things, and it's just amazing to me. It's amazing to me. Because a lot of times you meet people like that, and they're kind of very closed-minded. And you hear people say this all the time: we're open to ideas as long as it don't affect what I have to do. You hear that said quite often. You hear people say quite often that they're open to ideas as long as it does not affect what it is they're trying to do. As long as you don't touch my stuff. I'm open to your fresh ideas as long as my stuff ain't affected. Let's do some bowling on our birthday, cuz. Hey, let me know, man. Let me know. You know they got that special up there at Hillside on Thursdays. Cuz what day yours is Thursday, right? The 3rd? Right? Cuz, ain't that right, Roy? Yours is Thursday. Shoot, but look here. They got that special at Hillside at 9 o'clock. Oh, God. So, yeah, you can't focus on one particular age group. Come on now. You can't just do that. And I understand, you know, people are trying to get young people in church. But young people are going to come. If watch this. They don't need you to focus on their age group. They just need you to have some focus. I'll say that again. They don't need you to focus on their age group. They just need you to have some focus. Have some organization. Have some real meaning. Be relevant. If you're relevant, young people will come. If you're relevant. And relevancy ain't quoting lyrics from Jay-Z's record in the pulpit. That don't make you relevant. Relevant ain't quoting rap songs. Relevant ain't quoting TV shows. That don't make you relevant. Relevant meaning, are you having an impact? Are you impacting your community? Are you impacting people's lives? Are you really trying to do something, or are you just having church? That's what matters. Folks want to know: are you having an impact? Are you having an impact, or are you just doing church? Because I really believe a lot of young folk are tired of just doing church. They saw their parents. They saw their parents just do church, and this is why so many folks are turned off from church, because they saw their parents just do church, but then they had to go home with the same parent and watch that parent either live in hell or raise hell. So this generation doesn't want to see their folks just do church. They want to see church be relevant. See, the word of God is relevant, but sometimes we in church make it irrelevant by the way we handle it, by the way we apply it. I'll say that again. The word of God is always relevant, but we tend to make it irrelevant by the way we disperse it. by the way we misuse it or our lack thereof. I just think it's some. There are some things that we can do differently. There are some things that we can do differently to have an impact on whatever generation we choose to go around. Prime example, you can't live in a community and not have anyone from that community be a part of your congregation. How can you live in a community and less than 1% of that community goes to your church? Less than 1%. Now, if you've only been there for a short period of time, that's one thing. But if you've been in your community for more than 5 years, they ought to know you're there. One way or the other, they ought to know you're there. And if they don't know that you're there, there's a problem. If they don't know that you're there, there's a problem. I'm just trying to help somebody. So that was number seven. Bless y'all. Felicia Martin says, I grew up watching you talk about everybody you hate at the church. Why would I want that? Exactly. Exactly. Your kids went home with you and they listened to you badmouth everybody in the church. But yet you want your kids to come back and follow you to church. They hear you sitting around your dinner tables, your kitchen tables, talking and badmouthing any and everybody in the church, calling folks ugly, telling about folks' business and all this other stuff, but then you turn around and you say you need to be in church. Then it's a wonder the kids don't turn around and ask the parent, why the hell do you go? It's a wonder kids don't ask their parents, why the hell are you in church? Because all you do is talk about everybody in there. So see, young people don't want no part of that anymore. Don't nobody want to see that. You ain't even out of the church parking lot, but you talking about folk you just got through worshiping with. You ain't even out of the church parking lot, and you already in the car complaining or got something to say about the very people you were just sitting there shouting hallelujah with. My. Okay, Roy, I got you. It's crazy. Let's move on. That was number seven. Number six says this. Get your preacher to constantly preach about how materialistic everyone is. Nobody wants to hear a preacher complain that we all have iPhones, droids, laptops, Kindles, new cars, and nice houses, and that we afford all those things because we work too much and don't send enough money to poor children in Africa. Then a week or two later, announce plans for a multi-million dollar church complex and start pushing people to give to the building fund. Nobody wants someone to make them feel guilty if they don't give to it again and again. Maybe even set up a phone tree with automated calls telling members on how they should give to God's work. And by God's work, you mean, watch this now, by God's work, you mean the building fund. Oh, yeah, and plan for the complex to have racquetball courts and expensive chandeliers and giant megaton flat screens in the worship center. People love paying for that. Huh. Do they now? Oh, God. Oh, my. Yeah, that's good. I like that picture. That's good. I just find it. Oh my God! It's not to be cynical, and I know I come off that way sometimes. But we have to be careful when we're constantly noting what other people have to equate what the church doesn't have. You can't turn around and say, watch this, if there are people in your church parking lot driving Mercedes Benz, you can't turn around and say, all y'all driving Mercedes, but the church need this and that. Maybe the person driving the Mercedes have managed their funds to a point where they can afford a Mercedes. Maybe the church hasn't managed their stuff properly where they can afford the things necessary to have a successful church. So you can't begrudge people for their successes and then try to make them feel guilty by saying, y'all driving around in Mercedes and BMWs, but the church ain't got this. You can't begrudge people that. So one week you talking about, oh, y'all got all this stuff. Everybody in here got the $2,000 iPhone and the $1,000 Droid and the $1,500 MacBook, and y'all got all these nice cars, but the church need to get this done, and the church needs to get that done. Who are you to equate that? If God blessed them people with that, God blessed them. There's a reason why he hasn't allowed your church to have it. We need to be careful with that, man. That's that because then it sounds like, because now it almost sounds like envy and jealousy. Now it almost sounds like you're envious of what the other people have. That's the impression. Even if it's not the case, you don't want to give the impression that that's the case, because that's what it sounds like when you're constantly telling people and bemoaning about what other people have and what the church ain't got. If you believe that God is a provider, then why are you bemoaning these people because they got a BMW? Why are you upset about the house that they live in? We need to be careful and allow people. Look here, if God bless people, don't begrudge God's blessing on other people's lives. It's just not smart. It's just not smart. Amen. Let's move on. That was number six. Number six. Let me drop this one in here for y'all real quick. That was number six. So number five. What time is it? Are we good? Number five says, hire a worship leader who seems to think that unless everyone is standing up with their hands up and saying as loudly as they can for an hour that they aren't really worshiping, ignore those people who are spiritually and physically exhausted. The show must go on. I'm so glad that people recognize, and I said this in my Sunday school class on Sunday, don't lift your hands because the leader said lift your hands. Lift your hands because you recognize who God is. Lift your hands as a sign of surrender, or lift your hands as a sign of giving, or lift your hands in a sign of receiving. But don't just lift your hands because the leader said lift your hands. Lift your hands because you recognize that God is worthy of your praise. He's worthy of your praise. Lift your hands for that reason. Lift your voices for that reason. I said this on Sunday during Sunday school. This shouldn't take people to push you and prod you. We just read this about how good God is. So at some point we need to. It's not about the worship leader and them doing a concert on Sunday mornings. Worship has never been about your concert on Sunday mornings. You're supposed to be setting an atmosphere for worship, not giving us the best your best three set songs and putting you on display, and then you pass the microphone around and everybody. This ain't putting on the hits. This ain't Sunday best. This is worship. And folks ought to feel like they can come and worship without all of the mechanics and things that we put in place. Sometimes I think we forget the worship that sometimes we do in church is not the worship that God intended for us. Sometimes we just doing stuff. My God. So again, don't hire people who think that worship is all about them. Please don't, unless you want them to leave your church. Again, we're talking about the top 10 reasons people leave your ministries. That was number five. Number four says this, y'all. Again, We're talking about the top 10 things churches do to turn people away. Oh, my God. Angela says, other cultures don't bless nor praise him like we do. Ha! My God. My. Oh, my God. That's good. That's good, twin. That's good. That's real good. I love it. Amen. All right, number five. Number four says this. Having a different set of rules for staff members and church members. I'll leave this to your imagination. Oh, my God. Have you want to turn some folks off at the church? Come on. Have a different set of rules for staff members and church members. Oh, you can do this because you're on staff, but because you're just a member, you can't. Huh? You want to send people off the wrong way? Have a different set of rules for different people. Set up different rules and bylaws. Have your own internal bylaws for people you want to do, and then apply the rules to the people you don't like, and see how fast you run folks off. See how fast you run folks off when you want to apply certain bylaws to stuff that applies to you, and then the other stuff you just let it go because it doesn't matter to you. Amazing how quickly people will want to leave your area when they see or when they get a hint of unfairness and discord. My God. My. That was number four. Having a different set of rules. Come on, y'all. Help me. Number three says this. Uh-oh. Focus on guests, visitors, and seekers. Insert your lingo here and ignore members or do the opposite. Works almost every time. There has to be a balance between greeting of visitors and making sure that members feel welcome. There has to be a balance. Yes, you want to make people who are visiting your church feel welcome, but you don't want to do it to a point where you ignore the people who are there every Sunday. Don't miss that, y'all. It's very important that you get it. Don't overdo one area and miss this area. Don't overdo the area of greeting visitors, but then ignore your members. This is why there needs to be a balance. This is why ministry teams are so important. And from people who know, you know, it would be wonderful if you had people in your church who actually work in the hospitality industry. Those are the people who should be running and a part of your visitors group and your greeting of visitors. Those are the people, because if they're in the hospitality field, then they know how to treat people when they come, and they also know how to treat, watch this, returning customers and clients, which are your regular members. They know how to treat them. I'm just trying to help y'all today. This is really good, y'all. This is really good. The top 10 things. That was number three. Let me drop this in here for your reading real quick. Twin says, other cultures. Let me go back over here because that was a two-part thing. Other cultures don't bless nor praise God like we do. Get over it. She says, they focus other cultures, but that doesn't mean they're not getting it in. They're just as close to God as we are less than the sweat. Minus the sweat. I get it. Okay. Yeah. Everybody doesn't worship like you do, and you shouldn't expect them to. But if you don't teach worship, people don't know. I'll say that again. If you don't teach worship, people don't know. If you don't teach worship. If you don't teach it, they'll never understand it. My God. That'll help somebody in a minute. If you don't teach it, they'll never understand it. That's real. If you never teach it, they'll never get it. You can't just assume that they get it. That's one of the biggest. That's why so many churches are in the condition they're in now, because we just assume people know better. We had a good conversation with Michael Henderson on Wednesday. We just assume that people know better. We just assume they do. Not sure what all that static is, y'all. Really not sure. That just came from out of nowhere. Amen. We're going to get together, y'all. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation, y'all. We'll be right back.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546. Or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Amen. Amen. We're back. We're back. We're back. Okay, good, good, good. Hope that got that fixed. That sounded a mess. What in the world? Okay. I ain't gonna complain. I ain't gonna complain. It could be worse. I ain't gonna complain. I'm gonna get this up and finish this out. We got 9 minutes. And we're gonna get out of here. Amen. 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 Let's keep going. That was number three. Number two. Here we go. Number two. Top ten things churches do to turn people away. Number two says this. Have your 50-year-old preacher dressed in skinny jeans and an untucked plaid shirt while holding a latte in order to sell him and the church as cool to the kids. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm going to read it again. Number two says, have your 50-year-old preacher dressed in skinny jeans and an untucked plaid shirt while holding a latte in order to sell him and the church as cool to the other kids. Oh, my, 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 my. Wow. That's pretty good. Watch this. You can't fool folks. You can't fool young people. Young people, you look, you can dress hip. You can put on a pair of True Religion jeans. Are True Religion jeans even popular anymore? They probably not, are they? I don't even know. But you can get whatever pair of jeans you want, Seven for All Mankind, whatever. But do all that. But standing in the pulpit with a latte and all this other kind of stuff, you know what, and your pants rolled up, it don't make you cool. And it does not make you relevant. Your actions are what make you relevant. It's not how well you preach. It's what you do with it that makes you relevant. People want to see pastors who are actually working, not just running meetings, but working. Not just got me locked up in an office in another 10, 20, 30, 45-minute meeting, but working. That's what people want to see. And working meaning actually doing some work. The changes ought to be significant. Felicia said you ought to stay relevant if you don't stop. This is good. This is good. That was number two. And we're almost done, y'all. We're almost done. Amen. Amen. Why that volume just keep going up like that? Doing its own thing. Amen. Amen. Here we go. Number one says this. He says, yawn at a 5-minute biblical text, but trip over yourselves fawning over a minor celebrity or athlete who makes any vague reference to being a Christian. Maybe, just maybe, the world would think we're as cool and hip then. He says the middle-aged pastor trying to look like his 20-something audience isn't relevant. It's comical. Oh, my God. Sheldon says, I just posted this yesterday. Don't strive to be relevant. Just be authentic. That's it. That's good, sir. Bless you, Sheldon. That's good, sir. That's all right there. Now that will preach. Now that will preach. That will absolutely preach. My God. That will absolutely preach. I love that. That's good, y'all. That's good. That's good stuff. Ooh, Lord. That just blessed me. That just blessed me. Amen. Look, y'all, this has been great, man. Where are we at? We are 124. Let me do this. Let me pray. And we're going to do this, and then we're going to move on. Before I pray, y'all need to be mindful. And I say this again, y'all just stay prayerful. And I know that's easy to say a lot of times, and a lot of times you don't feel like praying. I know, believe me, sometimes there are some days I don't feel like it either. But I'm going to say this to you. Just stay prayerful. And then, but watch this. Watch and pray. And I mean, be careful when you're praying. Watch your surroundings. Be careful. Sheldon says, imagine T. Ellis J. Chapman trying to be Diedrich Haddon and vice versa. Yeah. Yeah. And you see it. You see it. You do. You do. You see people trying to now, you know, that, you know, it's kind of like you know who rides that who rides that wave, who rides that tightrope very well, but I tend to believe he's still authentic. Is Brother Kirk Franklin. Kirk Franklin has seemed to master riding that Jasper Williams, if you don't stop. Kirk Franklin seems to have mastered that line where he is still relevant. He seems to still be able to connect because he's always been there. Kirk has always stayed on top of the now. And I could be wrong. I'm just giving my opinion on what I've seen. Y'all might say different. I'm just giving my opinion on what I've seen. But Kirk Franklin seems to stay on the pulse, right? He seems to stay on the pulse. Now, Sheldon, y'all may have a different opinion. Y'all help me out now. But he seems to have a different he seems to be right on the cusp of what's going on, which never makes him seem which always makes him seem authentic. Because if you go to I'll touch you like this, she said because he's petite, you know what twin, if you don't get somewhere and sit down, she said because he's petite. I'm done. But here's the deal. If you go to a Kirk Franklin concert, you can tell by his audience who's there. You can tell by his audience who he's relevant to. And his audience is very diverse when it comes to the age demographic. Because Kirk Franklin has those of us, watch this now, Kirk Franklin has those of us who follow Kirk all the way back from joy, God's great joy, right? He's always there, but then Kirk also has the 90s group, and then Kirk also can grab the 2000s, and then Kirk can also grab the 2010s, and now. He's always, when you go to Kirk Franklin's concert, there is the age group from teenager to 60, because he has found that happy medium where the way he ministers and the way he worships, that's right, Angela, melodies from heaven, the way he ministers is relevant to an entire audience. And I believe it's because he has not appeared to be contrived or tried to just come up with something or stay hip. He is just authentic to who he is. Kirk Franklin is who he has always been. Come on now, when Jerry curls and S curls was popular, Kirk Franklin had an S curl. When the low fade became popular, Kirk Franklin got a low fade. When the box haircut was, he's always been who he is. Felicia says, Mary. I not a fan, but I would agree. Not a fan of Mary, Felicia, but I would agree with you that I do believe they try and stay relevant. I agree. I do agree with you there. Not a fan, but I do agree with you there. To that part of it. Amen. Let's do this. Let us pray real quick. Father God, Lord, we just thank you, God, for your loving kindness. God, we just thank you for your tender mercies. God, we just thank you for your grace. God, we just thank you for sustainability. God, we just thank you for sustenance. God, we thank you, God, for, as always, for that ram in the bush. God, we just thank you, God, for being faithful to us, even when we have not been faithful to you. God, we just thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Now, God, we ask that you would go out before us, God, and protect us as we go out into your streets, God, as we prepare God, we ask, God, that you would bless that little five-year-old girl, God, who was shot in the ankle, God, who was hit by a stray bullet. God, we ask that you would bless her family, God. Remove any fear from them, God. Don't allow that little girl to be scarred and afraid to go back outside, God. Give her a renewance of mind and spirit so that she still wants to go outside and play, God, and protect her as she does, God. Then even the hearts of those who did the shooting, God. God, melt their hearts right now, God, and give them some understanding, God. Give them some wisdom, God, to turn themselves in and put the guns down, Lord. God, if you could just pass that throughout this community that we're in, God. God, give us a new mindset, God. And then give those of us, God, who are a part of the clergy, God, who are a part of Christian organizations, who are a part of community organizations, God, to give us a spirit of eagerness to go out and touch this community in a special way, God. Give us the know-how to be able to go out there and do the things you have caused us and called us to do. It is in Jesus' name we pray, God. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. It's been a blessing, as always. It's been a great show. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. And y'all know I do what I do here so that God can get the glory. Never for me, but for God. Love y'all. Keep your head on a swivel. Got to go, y'all. Be blessed.